Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish will be looking at Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, in a study entitled Holiness and Worship. So grab your Bible and let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now, look what happens the very next thing in chapter 10. The Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So here this incredible thing of worship is taking place and sacrifice, and God seems to be in it, God's honoring it. So these guys, I think out of sincerity, if you read the passage, I want to honor the Lord, I want to worship the Lord through, you know, burning this incense, and it would raise up, and it would ascend, and it would be praise to God. On the surface of that, it doesn't seem like there's much wrong here that we could fault these guys. I mean, here this miracle happens and they're just kind of responding. Let's honor the Lord. But read on. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Obviously, God wasn't happy with this. These weren't unbelievers. These weren't ungodly. These were the priests. These were Aaron's two oldest boys. God struck them dead right on the spot, right as they've just been approved as priests, as set aside, consecrated, sanctified for the priesthood. They're wiped out. Something serious is taking place here that we need to get a hold of. God's trying to communicate something from this passage about worship that we best understand. Now, I don't know what happened in these two men's hearts, but it does say earlier in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, that they actually saw with Moses and Aaron a vision of the glory of God. And they were the older sons of Aaron, so they had this privileged position. Maybe they got a little too comfortable. Maybe they got a little too lax with the presence of God. Maybe they got overwhelmed at what was happening. But what it was, God said, I did not command this type of incense to be offered. That's what he says there in verse 2. It was profane fire, which he had not commanded them. Now, I don't know exactly which command they broke. I tried to research and go through a bunch of commentaries. And there's all sorts of ideas, but none of them really hit right on the head of what was happening. A lot of commentaries say that, well, they went into the holies of holies where the high priest was allowed, and so God struck them dead. That's a good theory, but it doesn't say that here necessarily in the text. Others say, well, they took the wrong coals off the wrong altar. They used the wrong fire to light the incense. It was prescribed there in the brazen altar. That's the coals that you take to light the incense. Some say maybe they took the wrong coals. Others say they did it at the wrong time. This wasn't the time for the incense offering to be lifted up to the Lord. Others say, no, they took Aaron's place, and he was the only one that should have been doing this sacrifice. Others say, well, no, there was two guys, and really it was only the job of one person. Maybe that was the violation. In verse 9, it says that they shouldn't come before the Lord being drunk. Some say that they were drunk as they did this. I seriously doubt that. This whole thing is a very holy, sacred place. God's just consumed the offering, so I think that's just a later command to make sure this doesn't ever happen again. So what they did exactly wrong, I'm not sure. But the Bible does tell us they offered fire that God had not commanded them. They thought, we will offer this type of worship to God, and they were sincere about it, but God had not commanded them to do that, and so God struck them dead on the spots. Then the Lord tells us why this was important, verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Listen to that. That's what I've been saying for the last year. God has to be regarded as holy for those who come before him in worship. These men do not take the holiness of God serious. They say, well, we know God hasn't really commanded us to worship this way, but hey, it kind of feels good, and it's on the spur of the moment. Let's offer this worship to God. And God says, no. I set the terms in worship, not man. God sets the terms in worship. The Holy Spirit sets the terms. The Bible says you must worship God in spirit and in truth. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, dictates to us and to our hearts how worship should be, and it's matched with the truth, I believe, found in the Scriptures. And you don't just come and worship God any way that you want or what you feel comfortable with. You worship as God has commanded. Then he also goes on to say, and before all the people I must be glorified. God is so serious about this that the two oldest sons of Aaron die on the spot doing something that looks like insincerity but was not commanded by God. Then God tells Aaron, don't mourn for your sons right now. Don't go out and bury them. You're doing the work of a priest. In verse 7, he says, the anointing oil is still upon you. You've been set apart to do this task. Do it. Don't even show any mourning. God doesn't want people mourning in his presence there. He wants them dedicated to the work that he's called them to do. So this work of service and priestly service of worship and sacrifice is so important to God that here's people that do it the wrong way. They die. And he tells the father that just lost his sons, don't mourn over it. Get about the business that I've set you apart to do. Jesus kind of said something, the same thing to a man. He said, let me go bury my father first. He says, let the dead bury the dead. As for you, you need to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. The story also reminds me of a man by the name of Ahio. Remember when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel? He put it on a cart, and the cart kind of stumbled, and he reached up, and he touched the Ark of the Covenant, and he died right on the spot. Now, think with me for a second. Don't these things, as you read them, our first response must be, God, the guy, he was trying to save the ark from falling on the ground. Wasn't that a good thing? And God struck him dead? Here's these guys, there's worship going on, and they're just offering this incense to God. It seems like an act of praise, and they did it at the wrong time, or maybe they used the wrong fire from the wrong altar. Those seem to be minor violations. Isn't that what your heart says? Okay, well, we have to realize the Bible's right. Amen? We have to realize that God is always right in whatever he does. So he's trying to communicate something to us, that he is sovereign in the way that we worship him. And we don't come before God any way that we choose or any way that we want to. It must be the way that he has commanded us. And we violate that, it's not going to be a worship that is pleasing to him or that he accepts. People don't want to hear that in the church today. They want to say, well, I have my own right to worship God the way that I want. That's what the Constitution gives me. Hey, this is not the Constitution. This is the Bible. There's no American way to worship God. There's a biblical way. There's a way governed by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to find ourselves. That's what we need to ask. How is that to be done? So it can be honoring to God. Let me ask a simple question. How many people believe that God is sovereign? And sovereign means he can do whatever he wants, when he wants, however he wants it. Okay, we all agree to that. Why is it that somehow we exclude worship from the sovereignty of God? We say, God is sovereign, but I'll determine how I'm going to worship him. It's up to me. It's up to the dictates of my own conscience. Something's wrong with that thinking. Leviticus chapter 10 is trying to communicate that to us. That you as man, me as a man or woman, we don't set the terms the way we're going to worship God. God sets them, and we that come before him must understand that he is holy, and he is to be glorified in the way that he wants to be glorified. Now listen to me. I believe that God has sown this into my heart. And one of the times that it happened, it's kind of as a thing that was magnified in my own life, was a couple communion services ago, a few months back. And I remember when it happened. I just remember that it happened. I was sitting right here in the front row. The worship ended, and something in my heart just began to break. And it was something I believe the Holy Spirit was putting into my heart. It wasn't something I was creating. It wasn't some emotion that I was trying to stir up. It was just a breaking of my heart. And I just began to weep. And you that have been around here for a length of time, you probably haven't seen me cry too often, and you surely haven't seen me cry like that, where I couldn't get up and talk in front of the people. I just had to sit there. And it went on for a few minutes. People came around and laid hands on, prayed. They probably thinking, gee, did his family die, or what's going on here? I mean, it was an intense situation. And God was sowing into my heart that he has to be worshipped. He has to be honored as a God of holiness, and our worship needs to glorify him. That must take place in my life as an individual. It must happen here at this church. I believe God sowed that burden into my heart. God sown into my heart that night that he's to be regarded as holy. It's found right here in the book of Leviticus. And God's saying, if you approach him, you must regard him as holy. And so that takes worship out of your hands and saying, I'm going to worship God any way that I want, and it puts it in the hands of God, in his word, and in the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that means you need to go back to the scriptures and say, God, what do you say in your word about worship? How are you to be worshipped? And you know where you could start? You could start in the book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms that talk about worship. And there's plenty of instruction there for a good place to start and a good place to get your heart submitted to what the Scriptures say. Now, here's the difference. There's two types of people here today. There's those that say, I won't do that. I won't kneel down. I won't lift my hands. I won't worship the way the Bible says. And those that are ignorant of what the Scripture says about it. God gives grace for that latter group. If you're ignorant, you find the instruction in the Bible. So you say, I won't.